We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're talking today with a couple guests here in studio, Lieutenant Colonel retired Art DeGroat, Director of the K-State Military and Veterans Affairs, and Mark Clausen, Executive Director of the USO Kansas Program and Center at Fort Riley. We shift now and talk a little bit about the work here through art centers like Manhattan Art Center and McCain. Let's talk a little bit about some of that work that's going on here, Art.
Yeah, there's been a national movement for about 5 or 6 years. The national program is called the Creative Forces Program, and it's a partnership between the National Endowment of the Arts and the Department of Defense and the VA. And its first charter was to try to increase the use of therapeutic art to help military that are rehabilitating and restoring themselves after deployments and from behavioral health issues. And so that's grown nationwide. And now they're focused on community-based arts engagements where local community-based arts organizations that want to put on workshops to help military-affiliated people express themselves through the different arts. Or there's really a healing component to the veterans' use of arts. And so now there's a source of federal funding through the Creative Forces Program. And so I've been actively involved in that and connecting a lot of Kansas-based arts organizations that do outreach. And a lot of them want to focus on specific workshops for military-affiliated people and veterans in transition. So that's been a great success. At McCain, as we know, McCain is open again. Post-pandemic, with their new beautiful lobby and expansion of their building, and we're reinvigorating the military audience outreach program through McCain. And I think every year, typically in a non-COVID year, and anywhere from 5 to 10,000 tickets a year are donated to the Mark's USO program, so that soldiers and their family members can actually go to a live performance of nationally acclaimed artists, which they wouldn't normally have access to see. So that's been a big program, getting started again, the role of offering the arts for well-being and healing and self-expression through McCain. So there's been a lot of good programs happening, and Mark's been involved in that as well, in the art. Bringing arts to the veterans, I think, is part of the USO outreach project as well.
Yeah, and especially the active duty and the family members that are here while their service members are deployed, those activities help keep them engaged in the community, and therefore they help them keep them a little bit more happy in the community, which makes the service member more at ease while they're overseas doing things that we don't want to think about. So is that
coming more online now here as we come out of the – I wouldn't say come out of the pandemic necessarily. We're still in it, but – are you seeing more activities with that?
We are. And fortunately, with connections such like with Art and K-State Military Affairs, we also get connected to other entities. And, you know, USO is a nonprofit, and we operate solely on donations. And donations doesn't necessarily have to mean dollars. It is gift in kind items like tickets. You know, we were fortunate to be able to send just the USO received probably 700 plus tickets to the K-State game a couple weeks ago. And that was through community donations. It was through K-State. It was through K-State Military Affairs. And we were allowed to give those out so that the family members can attend these different activities. We now that McCain's open, we get tickets to go to those performances. There's a professional armed forces rodeo in Topeka here in a couple weeks. We received tickets to that. We've had tickets to MMA fights, Chiefs games, the whole gamut. And it's all based on support from the community in helping us out and the organizations themselves.
All right. Well, that's good. Good to know that's taking place here. And as far as transitioning, helping with this is something that me, and as being a non-military person and not coming from a military family per se, you hear about the transition being one of the toughest things when you're transitioning back into the public sector here. I find that fascinating, the challenges that a lot of soldiers face here, and both of you are kind of involved with helping that transition get eased.
Yeah, it's a very, very stressful and difficult a chapter of a human's life. And the one of the reasons is we say going back to civilian life, but the military, people join the military, the officers join right out of college because you have to have a baccalaureate degree, and the enlisted usually come right out of high school. People know they want to serve in the military, and that's the entry point in their lives. So it's the first independent adult experience, occupation, career that they do. So in fact, they never actually went into civilian life, most military. So they went right from their parents to college or high school and right into the military. That's all they know about adult life. So it's kind of a delayed entry into independent civilian life that they've never – so they're not going back to something they once knew. They're going into something they've not been a part of. And the nature of military service, you live on a military fort, even though we talk about all these outreach programs and all these opportunities to get off the fort – That's to get them a feel for what civilian life is like so that when they enter it, it's not such a shock. So that's why I talk about all these programs. And, you know, if you're in a barracks and you're single and you can't have a dog, but you can go out, eat a hot dog and play with Farley over at the USO Center, that's a normalcy of normal life that they will go back – they will go to, not go back to, but go to. So transitioning is a really difficult social readjustment, occupational adjustment. You change your entire network of friends. If you ask any soldier at Fort Riley, you ask him to look at his Facebook friends or all of his or her connections, like 99% of them are all fellow soldiers. That's their whole world, and it needs to be that way. But all of a sudden, once you get out, you don't have five friends in the civilian world that you know. So you have to start all over again. So those things are very stressful for anyone making a transition like that. It's almost like you just got picked up and put in a foreign country for many of our veterans. And that's the part that's very stressful. And that's the part that we're trying to work on all these issues and programs to make that transition back a little bit easier and manageable.
I'm curious, Mark, is a branch of that maybe also financial wellness, like trying to get your finances in order?
It is. One of our strongest programs out there is actually the USO Transitions Program. It used to be known as Pathfinders. And that is for service members that are transitioning out of the military or their spouses as they transition from base to base. And the Transitions Program here in Kansas is the best in all of USO. We consistently perform at the top level on number of clients worked with, the satisfaction rate on their surveys, and I'm just really proud of that group. And the best thing about them is that they all have military background. Crystal's our site manager, and she grew up military, married a veteran. Our scouts or transition specialists, they've all served, so they know how to make that change. And they've done a really good job of networking amongst everybody within the state. It's not just here at Fort Riley, because we do work with McConnell Air Force Base. We do work with Fort Leavenworth. We work with the National Guard and Reserves. And so we have connections throughout the state. And they've done a really good job of creating those resources and networks so that we can talk about employment readiness, working on resume building, working on financial planning and things like that. We'll bring in experts to speak to those topics. And then we connect them with other agencies, whether it's K-State people, to help further their career on the education side of things so they can get the job that they want. You know, like Art said, some of them are young, and they get out after serving one or two terms, and they need to get an education because they're not going to sustain their lifestyle after getting out of the military if all they have is that entry-level experience within the military. So we help make those connections. We help set those plans up to set them up better for life.
What would you guys say is something, you know, we see that a lot of folks are hiring right now and they're looking for good employees. What is something that a potential employer could do to maybe kind of help ease along that transition process?
Well, there's a lot. For a lot of veterans, military service is military service. It's not a job. It's a career. It's a service, and so it's not like your average day in the Army is not like an average 8-to-5 job. And so a lot of it starts with you know, what they call onboarding. When you hire a new employee, there's a period of time where you're patient and you bring the person, you teach and bring them along to understand the new environment and the way things work in your company or your place of business. And today, in modern times now, people just it's called talent acquisition now. You just hire somebody from that restaurant. You add up from there, give them a little bit more money, and they come to your restaurant. But they pretty much know how to work in a restaurant. So veterans won't have any prior. They're going to be in a complete different field and a different working environment than they were in the military. And so they generally need a little bit more patience and a little more time to settle in and figure it out and be taught and you know how things work here. So they may not have relevant experience to settle in. So if that does not happen from the employer and management, it doesn't work out very well. And the veteran will probably leave and say, "Well, I don't fit here." But they do fit here. They just need more time to get acclimated. So I've done some consulting with major Fortune 500 companies that hire tens of thousands of veterans, and they realized I was right. And they built an expanded program for their veteran employees on giving them more time on onboarding to get situated and get integrated into the workplace because they have not been in that kind of a workplace before. And it's not about the skills; they got the talent, and they are adaptive, and they're great employees. They just don't feel like they fit in into the civilian workplace.
Sure.
One of the ways that the businesses could help on our end is actually be involved in some of our workshops. We do mock interviews, we do the employment readiness workshops, and if they can come in and see the service members and explain to them what things are being looked at and looked for, then that also helps them prep for those jobs so that they know going in, this is what I got to work on, or this is how I can help you. And a lot of times that communication and knowing how to state it is the key in the job search. Is this is how I can help you. This is my, because the experience and the terminology is completely different. There's times I'm completely lost with all the military acronyms and things like that. But if they can learn how to communicate as they're doing these job searches, then they can communicate better on how they could be an asset, or they can find out that they don't fit in this area that they thought that they wanted to go into and may actually fit in a different area better.
All right. Well, it's a good pool of talent to have, anyone coming from the military. So usually nine times out of 10, got some great employees, potential employees coming out. We'll take a break, come back with more In Focus right after this. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.